Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's a Wednesday edition of a numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin on the desk with me as always. If you weren't here with us on Monday, Gil out east dealing with the loss of his mother. Any kind messages you want to send to him at Beating the Book on the Twitter machine, greatly appreciated. As always, got an awesome show here. Jonathan Von Tobel going to come in, and JVT will talk just about anything with us. But I think you know, some NBA here early on, getting his thoughts on what's going on. Don't you think that's like what the people want?
Oh, I think so. Yes, from our senior NBA analyst, absolutely.
Because everybody talks the NFL. We'll ask him like if he's got a hot play or something. But I mean, the NBA is where it's at.
Yeah, he's usually got a Mountain West Conference football play that's jumping out to him as well. So yeah, we usually go, we circle around everything with JVT when he's on.
And it was the TBD, but we do in fact get Mark Borchardt today because baseball did extend. And of course, Kelly, that is where we kind of kick things off here. World Series does at least go to game number 5. I was sitting there and after Freddie Freeman hit that home run, I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. And instead, the Yankees said, no, we're going to go ahead and make you guys play a fifth game at the very least. I was proud to see that there were only a handful of empty seats in the expensive seats. I'm like going, guys, how did you spend tens of thousands of dollars? Most likely, I don't know exactly what they were going for and get that done. But look, this was the score got out of hand later on in the inning in the game. So don't let it completely fool you. It wasn't just an absolute trucking there for a while. It did look like, oh, okay, well, the Dodgers might fight back here and make sure that this thing gets swept. But instead, Kelly, we end up going to game 5. It's going to be Flaherty versus Cole. And I think that there is at least a tiny bit of hope out there for Yankee fan because you do get Gerrit Cole taking the hill for you at home here against Flaherty, who did have a good game 1 in the World Series, but certainly has been up and down this.
Yeah, season. I think it was interesting to watch last night. I mean, Yankees, it feels like you're talking about with Gerrit Cole going tonight right back in this conversation, being down 3-1. It was interesting. We talked about it on the show yesterday to see the Dodgers take the approach with the pitchers that they did, kind of punted on it.
Went with their B team. Yeah. Went with their B squad.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was something as much as you. You, I, and Paul even discussed it yesterday. I didn't really think we were going to see it like that, and then they really did. So, really, really exciting game tonight, I think, as both of these squads are kind of, you know, reset, ready to go.
And Shohei went off and got a hit.
Yeah.
Shohei went off and got a hit.
The history of me betting unders on player props with Dodgers in the playoffs with dislocated shoulders.
Yes. Apparently, listen, if you dislocate your shoulder, DM Kelly Bidlin to bet against you and you will break the slump. You'll get a hit. And as soon as I saw it go off the bat, I'm like, yeah, that's it. I was like,
The worst is I might do it again tonight, Matt, because like every other time you see him swinging, you're like, this guy's in pain. He's holding his arm when he's running to first.
It was,
how am I not supposed to bet an under on a guy holding his arm while he's running to first?
This is true. This is true. I mean, and like, as he's like coming back into the locker room, I mean, into the dugout, like full on pressing pressing it against himself, you know, so that it doesn't move.
I did have to look that up yesterday for everybody who wanted to know. That was a Bellinger in 2020 in the NLCS. Same thing that he heard it in the celebration. And then I came back the game after and bet the under. Did not work out then.
We get a Torres homer. We get a Volpe homer. We get a Wells homer. The bats alive, at least a little bit there for the Yankees. That said, notice I didn't say a Judge homer. He did get a hit in the game, so that is something to get excited about. We also had, as you see if you're watching
at home, these guys.
They should be banned from every stadium for life, right?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, because you're grabbing a dude's wrist. I mean, like, this is something that I understand. People are going to say, dude, don't be old man and overreact. But, okay, had they gone too overboard, you easily could have hurt his – Mookie Betts risk.
Oh, 100%. I kind of fully believe, though, Matt, this guy right here, I feel like he just had one too many and didn't really know how to act at a baseball game or what he was doing. It was his friend that was more of a problem, it felt like, afterward, doing the whole, like...
Because he jumped... For one, he jumped in, which, like, right. It's like, what are you doing? Like, your friend has already decided to be the idiot. You don't have to then make the choice to be idiot number two.
And then what, he was trying to make the point that, like, this is their territory? Like, you're not allowed to go into the stands? It was like, no, man, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, and I mean, you can see, yeah, it's the wrist is not bent all that much or whatever. But again, this is just because it didn't hurt him doesn't mean we should just give it a pass. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, we have to think about what could have happened had he, what if he'd have jumped up and gotten caught kind of like up there or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's all kinds of things that could have gone wrong in all this. Neither here nor there. We do get game number five, and in game number five right now, we're looking at about -148 Gerrit Cole at home as the favorite, +124. With the Dodgers and Flaherty on the as visitors there. 8.5 is our total in this one. Of course, no trouble getting over the 8.5 last night. Flaherty, 3.17 ERA, 1.07 whip, and a 29.9% K rate and just a 6% walk rate in the regular season. And that was backed up by a flat 3 XFIP. Four postseason starts, though, 4.95 XFIP, a 9% walk rate, a 1.35 whip. And as I mentioned, Kelly did have a good World Series game one in which he went 5 1/3 and didn't in Cade 6, but that was on extra rest. And when we kind of look at him when he's on normal rest, we've seen his velocity down. I don't know if it's just his arm getting tired, a little fatigued. He's never really played this deep into a season before, or if it's just, you know, again, something going on with him physically. We know there's been at least a little bit of a hamstring thing going on with Flaherty as well. So I do wonder how sharp he's going to be here, because this is a normal rest start, not right. An extended rest start. And so as good as he looked in game one, we have to remember that that was on extra days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. I do think that I will be looking back at the Dodgers money line again today and Ohtani under hits. I already wrote it down.
Cole, four postseason starts as well. He hasn't been really as sharp as he was in the regular season as well, but advantage Cole for sure here for me. In this one, it might take the Dodgers getting over there to game number six if they want to try and get this thing done. Let's head over to the NFL and some very big news. And this was something you and I speculated right here on this program yesterday was, you know, it seems like to me that maybe they're going to go to Anthony Richardson. I mean, they're going to go to Joe Flacco instead of Anthony Richardson, because I think they think that they can make the playoffs. And I think that they think that and they should think that. I mean,
yeah.
Wins are banked, right? I mean, that's in there. They should think that they can make the playoffs. And I think they think that Joe Flacco gives them a better chance to get there. Well, that is exactly what ended up happening. And Anthony Richardson has been benched. It is going to move to Joe Flacco. And this is one of those things, Kelly, I heard a lot of people talking, man, is this too soon? How can you make this decision so quickly? Is this fair? What do you mean, is it fair? They think they can make the playoffs this year, and they want to put the guy out there. You can still go back into the Anthony Richardson experiment if you want to, in two different ways. One, later on in the season, should this whole deal of trying to make the playoffs doesn't pan out, then you do whatever, put him back out there for the last however many games, and you don't see it then. Or you restart and go again next year. But you can't just let it go away just because you're going, well, we invested a first-round pick in this guy, so we have to just sit there and let him turn over and be inaccurate and not make the playoffs. Well, no, man, that's not fair to your fans. That's not fair to the rest of the locker room. That's not fair to everybody. And, of course, him benching himself certainly didn't help the cause.
Yeah, I think that's – I mean, look, I think you hit on most of the pro Flacco reasons. I don't think it's easy. I will circle back to what I said yesterday. I think that there – anybody jumping to conclusion of what you should do this or that with this situation – I think it's tough. I understand what you're saying with the playoffs. And I think it's probably the right move, and what I would go with, giving the team situation, given that you have Flacco there, and we saw what he did just a year ago with the Cleveland Browns. But, I think it's easy for some of us to say Anthony Richardson can learn from a guy like that sitting on the bench. I don't know that. For a guy that's played so little in college in the NFL now, maybe he just needs live game reps. I don't know. Maybe this does set him back a little bit. And I'm not ready to completely give up on the kid yet. So I think it's tough. It's tough judging what's best for your team, especially in the middle of the season, right? The dead middle of the season, to turn your attention to Joe Flacco in a playoff chase, or to continue to develop this young quarterback, especially in a town, in a team that has struggled to find who's that next guy since Andrew Luck.
Yeah. And I think One thing we can look at, though, is the market has spoken because they think that it is more likely that the Colts win a game or at least keep the game closer with Joe Flacco than Anthony Richardson, because all of this open 6.5,
yep,
all of those got eaten up, and then all of the sixes eaten up as well. The 5.5s now starting to go away as well. And we are down to a flat 5 at a few different books out there in this one, Kelly. So the money coming in on the Colts when they officially make the move to Flacco. And listen, just from strictly from a betting standpoint, not from our opinion on whether or not they should or should not have made the move with Richardson because of his development and stuff like that. From a strictly betting standpoint, Flacco today under center gives them a better chance to 100%. Win. And so that's why the market is moving the way that
I'm a little surprised. I mean, don't get wrong, coming off six and a half, six, those are key numbers in the NFL to move through. I'm actually surprised it didn't move maybe another half point or a point. I guess I was expecting to see 4s or 4.5s on that line.
Well, we might not be done, buddy.
Yeah, we might not be done.
We might not be done in all of this, my friend. So we'll figure out how that's going to go. The Ravens do trade for Deontay Johnson. Everybody knew that he was going to be on the move. The two big names were Deontay Johnson, Chris Kirk. Christian Kirk ends up getting hurt and out for the season. So Deontay Johnson was the guy that was left. He was the one big name to go. And so maybe a little surprising that it's the Ravens, because there were teams out there that were wide receiver, super wide receiver needy.
Yeah.
And it ends up going to a team that, sure, didn't have, I guess, the alpha one. I don't know if you consider Zay Flowers kind of an alpha one, but now you kind of have a 1A, 1B situation there for the Ravens, and I think it definitely makes them more dangerous.
Yeah, it does. I mean, look, adding weapons, right? I feel like I've heard a lot of talk of, like, are they going to be tempted to throw too many wide receivers on the field? Hey, having too many weapons is a good problem. The Ravens will figure that out. I trust John Harbaugh. This is, I'm with you. I was a little surprised, though, to see it was Baltimore yesterday.
Yeah, Baltimore was, I know they were on the list, Kelly, but I didn't think that they were going to be high on the list.
And then the trade itself was just kind of weird, right? Like Carolina,
When we come back, we're going to get through some more NFL news, see how those are affecting the markets out there, see if it's anything that you want to get into your account, and also take a look at what happened in the association last night. Some interesting things there as well. Get Kelly's opinion when we come back here on A Numbers Game.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSiN. Matt in for Gil, and we're rolling through some of this NFL news. We just talked about the fact that Deontay Johnson gets traded to the Ravens, and the Ravens, of course, a contender not only in the AFC, but for it all. I think whenever we're talking, we will rank our teams a little bit later here on the program, but not how you think. It's not here's my number one and here's my number 32. We're doing it how you talk about it at the water cooler. We're like, man, is that team actually any good? And it's like, is that team good? I don't know, man. That team's bad. Man, that team is terrible. Like, we got 5 different tiers, and it's how you actually talk about teams.
And one of them is literally titled Dunno.
Yeah, because a lot of people, that's what you would say.
With a D-U-N-N-O, Dunno.
Because it would be like, hey, man, is team XYZ? And you'd be like, I don't know.
Man, there's a lot of teams on that list for me. I'll tell you that much.
So we got that coming a little bit later as well. Texans, Stephon Diggs out for the season with a torn ACL. This was something that we figured was the case, but it is actually confirmed. And so Nico Collins is expected to be back after this week. So he is expected to be back next week. Need him back out there big time, because as good as I do think Tank Dell is and can be for this Texans team, Kelly, I do think that you can't rely just on him and Schultz and Mixon and expect this Texans team to be, you know, anywhere close to what they need to be real contenders, which is why they will actually fall where they fall a little bit later for me in our ranking systems here. And so, again, Nico Collins not back this week. The Texans are going to try and get it done against the Jets on Thursday night with just Nico Collins, Mixon, and, of course, whatever tight end stuff that they get rolling out there. That has this at 1.5 to 2 points in favor of the Jets in the market right now. The total has fallen down to 42, down to 41.5, actually, at one of the books out there. Can't say I disagree, because if you look at the Texans, the reason if you liked them coming into the season, even if you weren't in love with them, one of the things you could always make the case for is, I don't know about the defense. I don't know. Even if CJ Stroud regresses just a little bit, they're so incredibly multiple that it's going to be tough for teams to nail them down. But man, it's a big loss with Diggs now gone, and of course Collins isn't going to be out there this week.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be interesting because that was a big handicap right heading into the season. It was all these weapons, right? Mm. Look at all these weapons. We expect the defense to be better too. I was very high on this team heading into this year, so this has been like you brought it up the other day. I think it's tough. Tough to sit here and say that C.J. Stroud hasn't had a little bit of a sophomore slump. Maybe that's a little unfair just because of how great he was his season ago. Tank Dell feels like he's having one too a little bit. You don't know how much that's true or been covered up by, you know, Collins and Diggs being out there as well. Because he hasn't had the season he had a year ago either. So we'll see what he can do now being the guy on that team. But it's just with the weapons starting to fall off for them. It is a tough situation right now for you.
Yeah, I think this team, if we're kind of saying like, okay, stock up, stock down, I think it can't get maybe any worse than it is right now. We should probably be looking stock up on this team because, you know, with Collins, he was leading the NFL in receiving whenever he went down. Right. And this is something to remember. This guy has really kind of separated himself into that upper tier when it comes to wide receivers in the league. So
I love how you put that, because this game coming up tomorrow night, like it is the Texans are near where I would think their floor could possibly be.
Yes.
The Jets, I got no idea where that floor is. I think we're still finding it every single week. We keep going lower and lower and lower. So I haven't bet anything at that game tomorrow night. I know you're on the under, but it would be Texans or nothing still for me in that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. The Vikings acquired left tackle Cam Robinson from the Jags, and this kind of went under the radar because it was a Thursday game and we get into Sunday and we don't start. They lost their left tackle, by the way. So like Christian Darrisaw tore his ACL and his MCL versus the Rams. And so they were down a left tackle, a guy that they valued a ton, had just given a 4-year extension to, all of that. So they're kind of bringing in a Band-Aid here. Cam Robinson on the last year, his deal, whether, you know, and he's graded out okay. I mean, his problem is keeping Cam Robinson on the field. His biggest deal has been he just has always been injured. But it is a decently big kind of under the radar. We like to talk about the skill position players at Tony Kelly whenever we're talking about like moves. But, you know, there was a big gap there now for a team that people are thinking can really contend in the NFC. And they go and fill that gap with Cam Robinson.
Yeah, I think important. This is a Minnesota team I was higher on, over the past couple seasons. Didn't have the full trust. I mean, I had division bets on them. I don't know what the past 3 years it feels like. Didn't go back to the well with it this year with the quarterback change and everything. But, man, they've played great. And I think if you're a team in this position, this is where all these teams right that are a little bit surprised has got to figure out how serious they're going to take this playoff run. We're seeing what the Colts are doing. Yeah. We're seeing what Minnesota's doing. Hey, we're here. We've banked these wins. Let's go for it.
Absolutely. I think that's a really good point here because you were trying to we're talking about are we buying stock in the future of these teams? Well, Minnesota went out and said we're not going to have a gap there at left tackle. We're going to go and at least acquire someone, get that done. And last little bit of news here. Hey, Giants are sticking with Daniel Jones. I mean, what can you do, I guess, anyway? I mean, what is it? I know everyone's like, dude, you can't just keep trotting that guy out there. But I mean, Drew Locke's not any better. So, I mean, it's not the Colt situation where you actually might feel like you're better with the other dude.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't feel like you're better with Drew Locke.
So here's the thing. I don't know for sure that they're not better with Locke, but I think that Jones' struggles are being blown out of proportion a bit. This offensive line's terrible. He has limited weapons outside of Neighbors. I don't know. What did we really expect from this Giants offense this year?
This is true.
If anything, there's been surprises, right? Mm-hmm. Neighbors has been a pleasant surprise.
Let's head over to the NBA. And if you were not paying attention, if you were just watching Major League Baseball last night, well, Kelly, the Joker went nuclear. And yes. He does this, several times a season. 29, 18, and 16 line, which, by the way, also had a steal and only one turnover in the game.
That's pretty good. It's not bad. It's not bad.
Yeah, yeah. Also had a steal and only one turnover in the game in an overtime win against the Nets. And, every now and then he just reminds us, hey, I'm still one of the very best players on the planet, and I'm going to show you.
So I have definitely been in the camp of Denver is going to be far worse this year than most people think. They're going to take a major step back. But after watching that game last night, Matt, you have to sit there and wonder, well, what if Jokic just has the best season he's ever had? Because with the limited cast of characters around him, he's going to need to do more on a night-to-night basis. This might be a very, very scary statistical season that we're about to see Nikola Jokic put up.
Yeah, this so my thoughts went exactly there. My thought is I'm going to give this like four or five more games and see what goes on with him. And then it's like, then I might have to kind of go all in, but mainly from what you're talking about, like from a statistical standpoint, maybe even a singular awards type standpoint, whatever it might be. But if this is what it's going to take for them to win games, which by the way, they had to, you would think you see a line like that and they won like right, in regulation yes. by 15.
No, they
had to claw their way in overtime. So if that's what it's going to take, yeah, you're right.
Well, and especially with, okay, so MVP, so if we're talking about betting MVP here a little bit, which I think we are, the team expectations have to drop, right? Mm-hmm. I think the team expectations were still too high in the preseason, but the NBA season's long enough that the narrative can, the team can drop in the, right, in the perspective of the media or whatever and how they're being talked about. But if he keeps putting up massive individual games, okay, then you get to the end of the season and say, oh, this Nuggets team's back in the playoffs. We didn't think they'd be that good. And look at all the numbers Jokic put up. I think you could make an argument for that right now.
Anthony Edwards went nuclear, but that was just in the first quarter.
Yeah.
24 of his 37 in the first quarter. The Wolves did fall to the Mavs. Kyrie goes for 35, and he actually picked up for Luka, who has not been sharp to start the season here. Kelly, are we worried at all about Luka?
No. That was part of the reason why I bet Minnesota yesterday, though. It's just, I mean, dude didn't play in the preseason. You just, I think it's understandable, but you need to, you know, you need to work that into your handicapping of what do these guys look like that are just playing basketball really for the first time these first few games. So I don't know. This Dallas team is, they're still very impressive. Derek Lively's so good. He didn't have that good of a game last night, but man, he's been a guy I've been targeting. I'm a little confused why Gafford's still starting in front of him. He's been that good. I do think he will take that position at some point, but this Dallas team, and Clay is just fitting. He's fitting so well. I think you and I talked about a bit about this last year, but man, last night's a good reminder of, oh yeah, Kyrie's still real good at basketball.
Yeah.
Don't forget.
Yeah. It's one of those things last night. So he doesn't do what he does and they lose that game for sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he picked up for Luka. And you're going to look at the box score and it's like, dude, he still went for 24. He was 1 of 8 from three. He shot 27 times, only made 10 of them. Like it was, he was not sharp and it's okay. Mm-hmm. We can say that Luka wasn't sharp. Yeah. He hit a dagger at the end of the game. I get it. Like, but that was his first three that he made all game.
Right.
He was 0 for 7. He was 0 for 7 leading into that. So, you know, it's fine. I think that is something though, that maybe again, in the short term, maybe from a prop standpoint that we might want to look at is
playing unders.
Yeah.
Playing unders.
He's not shot the three ball well. He hadn't been scoring like he normally scores, things like that until he kind of gets fully in the rhythm. Maybe we just take advantage of it.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's a terrifying player to play unders on. I get it. And you're going to look like an idiot at some point.
When he figures it out. But when he figures it out, it's just going to blow it away. But yeah.
We got JVT coming up next. Can't wait to talk about some games with him. I got nothing locked in so far, Matt. I am looking at the Hornets taking on the Raptors tonight. Hornets are a team I bet over on the win total. This is a gross line to think about laying 6.5 points with the Charlotte Hornets. But man, the Raptors with no Emmanuel Quickley, no Scottie Barnes, no Kelly Olynyk. I don't know. I got to look at Charlotte.
We'll talk some NBA. We'll talk some NFL with John Fontobel. Also figure out, what does he think about this Joel Embiid situation as well? It's a numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is a numbers game here on VSiN on a Wednesday. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Midland-Bidlin on the... Man, you don't middle anymore. We got to get you a new nickname.
Yeah, not as much. No. Not as much. We ain't doing a live betting show as often, you know?
Yeah, it was like, it was so good. It was Midland-Bidlin just rolled off of the tongue.
Tip the cap to Brady Cannon on that one. That was always his.
And now you don't middle anymore.
Just that guy. Just that guy who just bets flat sides on the NBA.
You're just Bidlin now.
Just Bidlin. Boring Bidlin.
Kelly Boring Bidlin. That's where we'll go with all that. Well, this guy that we are about to talk to is not boring. You've seen him here on the network. He is also our senior NBA analyst at Meet JVT over on the Twitter machine. He is Jonathan Fontobel. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm good. I don't know what I was going to say. I'm good.
you were going to say like, yeah, Kelly is boring, but it's fine. You don't have to do that. I mean, you don't have to pile on. It's okay.
I'm distracted because I was doing the unprofessional thing. I'm writing while you were talking to me. So I was trying to answer and I was like, I should probably just stop writing and just do this hit. So yeah.
We always peel the curtain back here.
If anyone wonders why there's like a weird like Midland Bidlin in the middle of his NBA article today, it's like, oh man, I'm trying to do three things at once. And so sorry. about all of that. So let's get in, before we get into the games that you're interested in this evening, a topic we didn't get to last segment, and it's even better that we just carry it over into this one, get both of y'all's thoughts. But what is your whole take on this Joel Embiid thing, and what should, if anything, bettors take from it?
Yeah, I look, I don't know. I mean, I think bettors should take away, like, look, some of these adjusted win totals that are still up, I would still be very much looking to potentially play these under if we're still, I haven't checked for a few days, so these might be gone. But if we're still talking in the range of like 50 and a half or so, I still think that might be worth looking, because you just don't know how often he's going to play. Now, I always throw out the caveat that I think Paul George is somewhat of an unlucky case, right? Because Paul George, I mean, it's a hyperextended knee. You can't really help anything like that. And if you look at his history with the Clippers, it's been a lot of that, right? Some hard contact injuries that have led to some unfortunate events. And last year, he did play his most games in a uniform for the Los Angeles Clippers. So maybe there's something to Paul George being healthy and available. But I do think Joel Embiid, we know what's going to happen here. They're going to willingly hold him out. The rumblings and rumors of him having a potential degenerative knee issue, weight loss rumors that they're trying to help with the said knee, having issues potentially with diet, whatever it is, you know, I think that they're going to willingly keep him out so that he can be available for a postseason run. And if that means that you're the 3 or the 4 seed, then so be it. Because having him ready and available and maybe having to go on the road in an Eastern Conference semifinals or an Eastern Conference finals is much more important than getting as many regular season games as you can, getting a top seed, and maybe risking not having him available. So I think that's really the strategy. It's just, look, some of these win totals, adjusted win totals, you jumped on them early. I think you're feeling relatively good about where you're at.
Yeah, I think if you're this is a good situation too, John. I think if you ever wonder betting the NBA, are these teams lying to me or are they being real on injury reports? Well, the NBA just basically called out the Philadelphia 76ers yesterday. So that is keep that in mind as you're handicapping your way through the NBA season.
Kelly, I mean, I brought this up to Matt the other day. They do lie to you all the time. And yeah, we have great examples in the postseason. You know, everybody remembers LeBron, right, after getting swept by the Warriors, where he comes out with the hand brace. Like, oh, yeah, no, I broke my hand after game one. We just didn't tell you. The one that I always love that is often forgotten is Damian Lillard in the Western Conference Finals against the Warriors comes out after they get swept and goes, oh, no, I separated my ribs, actually, in game one. Like, they lie all the time about these things, and that transpires in the regular season as well.
Yeah, I mean, this Embiid story is a perfect example. I don't really understand why Philadelphia would rather have, like, their fans think that Embiid is just kind of like lazy and doesn't want to play instead of going through a chronic knee injury. Like, that's what it is. Like, it's kind of understandable. It sucks, yep, but it is what it is. All right, a bunch of games tonight, full slate. I got nothing in the account yet. Want to run through a few that you're looking at with you. Hawks and Wizards. What are you looking at here tonight?
So big revenge spot for Atlanta, right? They get bombed out by the Wizards a couple nights ago on Monday. Wizards go, I think, 21-44 from three-point range. So, you know, you can kind of expect that's some regular regression to the mean, maybe a little bit of revenge on the mind. Atlanta's in a pretty good spot. We've seen the market tepidly move in the direction of Atlanta. But for me, it's not about the side. To me, I'm going to go player prop here. Kyle Kuzma's not going to play today. He is out. He tweaked the groin at the end of that win over Atlanta. He's not going to play. And so what does that mean for everybody else? Well, I think it opens up the door for Alexander Sarr. Sarr's been actually a pretty good statistical rebounder by percentage. 8% of his team's missed shots or his individual offensive rebounding rate at 8%. His defensive rebounding rate at 20.8%. And with Kyle Kuzma not out there, you're going to be in a position as the team's third leading rebounder to have a lot more boards come your way. And you would assume a minutes increase. We've steadily seen his minutes for each of the three games, Kelly, go up. And so with Kuzma not out there, with the need to attack the glass, against a bad rebounding team too, by the way. The Hawks have been a pretty below average team across the board through the early portion of the season in terms of rebounding. I think Sarr's going to have plenty of opportunities. We're starting to see this market get to like 7.5 in a couple of spots for his rebounds. So there's still a couple of over 6.5 and minus 128 available for rebounds for Alexander Sarr. That's why I'm going to attack it here. I think the side makes sense for Atlanta, but I'm going to go player prop and then have Sarr go over his rebounding number tonight.
Raptors and the Hornets, currently 6.5 in favor of the Hornets. 225 and a half is our total in that one. What you like?
So we're going to go another player prop here, and this is also tied to injury. Scottie Barnes not going to play. And so you look at the Raptors injury report right now, Matt, and it's big. And I think they're really willing to take some L's if they can go out there and get Cooper Flagg. As we have so astutely put it, I really like it. Go in the pooper for Cooper is, I think, the slogan that a lot of these teams are going to have. But look, you don't have Emmanuel Quickley, or he is doubtful. It's probably not going to play. As I mentioned, Barnes is out. Kelly Olynyk is out. Bruce Brown's out. You really don't have that much in terms of ball handling, shot creation for Toronto. So I think this offense is really going to run through RJ Barrett. So if you look at Barrett, he played his first game the other night against Denver, had 20 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. His points, rebounds, and assist prop for tonight is about 32.5. You can still find -110 out there on the over. I think this is going to be a high-volume game for R.J. Barrett against a Hornets team that's still pretty below average in defensive rating, doesn't have a real true wing defender to throw at him that they're going to feel confident in a matchup like that. I think this is going to be high workload for R.J. Barrett. I'm comfortable going over points, rebounds, and assists in a game that I think he's going to have a lot on his shoulders.
Yeah, I like that play. I think I'm going to be laying it with the Hornets tonight. I know what you're talking about, JVT. It's a team that you and I are both high on. Yes, that is a to a degree, right? It's not like they're the best team in the Eastern Conference, and laying 6 points with them isn't all that comfortable. But like you said, no Quickly, no Barnes. Like, that is major problems for a Raptors team that's already depleted. Good. Next game up, I'm glad I get this one because I texted JVT last night. I said, man, I'm looking at Wednesday's card. I don't really like all that much. What, anything jumping out to you? And JVT responded with a big old Cleveland. Let's go.
Yeah, man. I like this Cleveland team. Kelly, they're 4-0 against the spread so far this season. They're unbeaten. I've bet on them in 3 of the 4 games. I think this team is the real deal. I think they are going to be a very good regular season team. And there are a few teams that I think are equipped to handle what the Los Angeles Lakers are going to throw at you in terms of size and athleticism, right? You have LeBron James, you have Anthony Davis. Well, I can at least combat you with Evan Mobley and, of course, Jared Allen and feel somewhat comfortable in our matchups there. D'Angelo Russell is questionable to play. I think it's a little bit of back soreness. We'll see if he goes out there. But even then, when you look at the one-to-one matchup, you're pretty comfortable that neither one of Austin Reeves and or D'Angelo Russell is going to shut down the combo of Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell. And of course, you got Dean Wade there, 6'9", a small forward, can space the floor, can add some rebounding protection, and of course, go up with Rui Hachimura. And then you look at the bench, and I think there's a pretty strong edge here for Cleveland. I like this Cavs team a lot. And I made it a point to back them consistently at the beginning of the year. So I'm not going to back off of this. We saw this in some spots open 3.5, get up to 5. It's starting to trickle back down to 4.5, probably on news that Russell is potentially going to play. So I'm going to lay this with Cleveland. I would say anybody who does want to play it, they'll just sit back. Like, you can maybe lay 4 once Russell is officially active. We'll see if that's the case. I still think 5 is playable, but I think Cleveland at home, again, I'm just going to continue to ride this train with the Cavaliers. I think they're an underrated team and one of the best ones out there. 4-0 ATS with about a plus 10.9 cover margin to this point of the year.
Talking to our guy, Jonathan Von Tobel, senior NBA betting analyst. Look, it's rough go for New York sports fans right now. The Yankees are on the brink. You got the Giants, you got the Jets, but hey, what about the Knicks? The Knicks and the Heat tonight. 1.5-point favorites are the Knicks on the road. 214.5 to 215.5 is the total. What you see here?
Yeah, so first off, injury report is going to be important because the Knicks are already a pretty thin team. Josh Hart popped up. He is questionable to play. So you're going to want to see if he's going to be out there because, as we know, Achiuwa's already out. Mitchell Robinson's already out. And that's kind of where you start here, right? Because you look at this from a bench perspective, and you have Miami at the very least. You've got Jaime Jaquez. You've got Duncan Robinson. You've got Josh Richardson and Alec Burks, like a bench that you can kind of trust here to give you some depth. And then after Miles McBride, it really drops off for the New York Knicks. And that's especially if you're talking about Josh Hart not being available. So I think the Heat are in a pretty live spot here at home. The Knicks are kind of the antithesis of Cleveland for me. I've been looking to play against them somewhat often here. Use the Celtics, use the Cavaliers, played on them in a good spot against Indiana. But I think overall that they're a team I'm looking to go up against. So for me, I'm going to play Miami. It's like you mentioned, they're catching 2, but it's starting to trickle back down to 1.5. I think a money line play here for the Heat at home is very much worth it.
You can find him here on the network, all over the place. His great work over at VSiN.com as well, at MeJVT over on the Twitter machine. He is the one, the only, Jonathan Von Tobel. Thanks for the time, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, guys, of course. Anytime. Thank you for having me.
Kelly, if you are the type of bettor that likes to get down absolutely massive bets.
You know I am.
And if you do not like the spinny wheel and like to get your in-game bets instantly approved.
You know I do.
Sport Trade is the place for you. Not only do you get the things that I just mentioned, you also get -104 lines instead of the typical -110 lines.
That's nice.
Who doesn't like reduced juice? If you're in Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and even Virginia now, you can take advantage of this offer. Go in, download the Sport Trade app, use the code VSIN to get 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Now, of course, terms do apply. You must be 21 years or older to play. And if you do have a gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. But that is Sport Trade, promo code VSIN.
VSIN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSIN. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, And let me tell you, Kelly, that Jonathan Tobel, he knows his NBA, doesn't he?
He does.
I mean, sitting there, you guys are just texting back and forth all day long, just trying to find edges.
Man.
Like, how come I'm not part of the group, man?
Yeah, well, it's the Hardwood Handicappers chat, okay?
Oh, is that what it is? Is it listed in the phone as Hardwood Handicappers? Oh,
no, yeah, like, I don't even know how to do that stuff, but JVT went and made, like, a logo for it and everything. Yeah, so it's the group chat. Yeah, you get the whole thing. Yeah.
Well, how about, like, whenever a juicy nug comes through, like a little...
Like that?
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying? How about, like, when a juicy nugget comes through, you hook a brother up?
I will do. Hey, I think any sport we could say this with, I surely miss having a regular show with Matt Brown to talk NFL. It's just, it never hurts your own process to be able to talk through things with people. So I like to pick those guys' brains all the time. Yet Zach Cohen is much better with player props than me and JVT. So there's a lot of times, like JVT even in the chat today was kind of like, hey, I kind of like this side. Is there a player prop I should be looking at more, though? Because I think that could make sense. I think that's where he landed on a couple last night.
Here's the thing about these, like, about, you know, group texts, is we complain about group texts. We're like, oh, my God, I'm on this group text chain. It's going on. And then you get left off of one. You're kind of like, hey, dude, how come I got left off of one?
That is very, very, very true.
You know, yeah. Like, you're sitting there like, dude, I keep getting, I'm on a group text. Like, I don't know why. It keeps blowing up. And then you get left off of one. You're kind of like, dude, how come you left me on the group text, man? Like, what's going on? Why is that a thing?
And poor Zach Cohen, because JVT and I could get going early on this. By early, I mean like 4:30 a.m. early, because he's up with kids. Yeah. I'm up for the show. And Zach, I'm sure, is sleeping and trying to sleep.
We will have John's bets over on VSiN.com/picks page shortly, once Kelly confirms the exact numbers and things like that he got. But it is Wednesday here on the program, so that means it's time to talk some win totals.
Are the guys looking over or under? It's another edition of Win Total Wednesday on A Numbers Game.
And while hitting these win totals are hard, hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. If you're ever injured, you can check out Morgan & Morgan. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers submitting an injury claim. With Morgan & Morgan is so easy. If you're ever injured, just check out Morgan & Morgan. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law. That is #529 from your cell phone. That is forthepeople.com/bestbets or #law, #529 from your cell. This is a paid advertisement. All right, Kelly, this one was fun. Going in, trying to figure out the win totals that we liked. I'm looking in here. How did they get erased from the, how did mine get erased from the rundown?
That would be me. I got you. Don't worry.
That I had in here. So, there we go.
We've got
a graphic. I'm sitting here going like, well, let me start off with mine that aren't in the thing anymore.
Brendan and Savannah have it all teed up for you. Okay.
Right, so let's start with this first one for me anyway. The one that I like, Bears under 8.5 on the win total. This team was a team that I wasn't as high on entering the season as it was anyway. I think if you look, it's one of those teams that everybody was pumping up mainly because, hey, look, yeah, you got the first, number one pick. You bring in Keenan Allen. I get it. All the stuff that was going on, bring in Rome Odunze, but it's not just like, okay, plug and play. Everything works out absolutely perfect. And then also I started to see a pattern as to how that the schedule was going to go for this team as well. And so now what you look at, Kelly, is you get a team in the Bears that is getting probably the toughest remaining schedule of any team left in the NFL. They got two games against the Lions, two games against the Packers, two games against the Vikings. They got the Niners. They got the Seahawks. They got the Cardinals. Really the only cupcake left on this schedule for this Bears team is the Patriots. And if you're watching at home right now, you can kind of see what this looks like and how it's playing out for this Bears team. I mean, this is not a good situation for them going down the stretch here. You're probably getting the best version of the 49ers out there in week 14 as
that
well.
Like,
probably getting a little bit healthier for this team. And so, I mean, if they don't get, they better win at the Cardinals. And I mean, if they're even going to get close to getting 9 wins, I just don't see it happening. I like the under there on the Bears.
Man, we throw up that number in this schedule. And you just look at that Commander's L is going to be haunting them all season. I have a preseason position on the under on the Bears.
As do I.
I'm, if I had to go one way or the other, I'd join you. I'm kind of cracking up because we've got a few each and we didn't match on anything. Mm-hmm. We're not head to head on anything. So I would still go under. I don't know. I'm not ready to double down on it though. I understand that's where you're looking though. Cardinals and Patriots next 2 weeks. It is brutal after that.
It's brutal. Well, it's like you better, in my opinion, like you better win both of those.
Yeah.
If you're going to get over this total. And I'm really hoping you don't, because I have an under 8.5. And remember when it went and it went up to 9.5? And
oh,
so
yeah,
I have the under 9. Yeah, I've got the under 8.5, and then came back in when everyone was pumping this team up. I took the Rams over 7.5
like
as
it,
well.
Yep, it was one I looked at hard. Yep.
So if you look at this Rams team, one of the easier schedules actually left over the course of the season. And again, we keep talking about teams getting better and healthier. Well, the Rams played obviously the vast majority of the season without Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. Now both of those guys are back out there. They decided not to sell, so the Rams are in it to win it. And if you go in and look at the rest of this schedule, you get games against the Patriots, the Saints, the Jets, the Dolphins, the Cardinals, a couple of games against the Seahawks. I mean, really, you're looking at Bills, Eagles, and 49ers as your only like super, super tough games. And yeah, there's going to be some coin flips along the way, but you expect to win some of the coin flips as opposed to lose all the coin flips. I think this Rams team could make a push here towards the end of the season.
Yeah, this is what I was looking to add as well for this segment. Just too many of those coin flips for me to be comfortable with at that number.
Yeah, so those are the top two for me. I'm going to need the old graphic there. For this, you know, Falcons over 10.5. This Falcons team plays one of the, if not the easiest remaining schedule. And I honestly think they have started to figure things out a little bit. A graphic came out on the Twitter machine yesterday, and I wish I could credit who put it out there. But over the last couple of games, they've started to figure out how to beat this whole too high safety thing that everyone's running against every single offense. They got a ton of weapons out there for the Falcons. They just weren't utilizing them properly. Kelly, look at this schedule right here and tell me how this team doesn't go ahead and just win the vast majority of these games. Panthers, Giants, Raiders, Saints, Cowboys. You get the Commanders, and I understand that's not a pushover, but that's going to be a pretty easy head-to-head game. The Chargers, which I'm down on, the Broncos. I mean, this is a very, very, very favorable schedule down the stretch for this Falcons.
Yeah, I think some concerns for the defense for me still, but this is one I was looking at as well. Would be over nothing for me.
Yeah, I really like this one a good amount for the Falcons and to close things out here. Chargers under 9.5. You guys have listened to me all week here on the program. I think this team kind of stinks out loud, even though the record doesn't show it. I know they're throwing the ball a little bit more. I know you still have Justin Herbert. I don't think you have the playmakers. I don't think that there's going to be enough success there for this team. So give me the under. I don't think that they win half of their games the rest of the season.
And I like that one too. That was what I was staring at hard. It would definitely be under or nothing for me on that one. I laid out four as well. A couple of these are kind of funny because I went at the very top end of the board and the very bottom and went over on the Chiefs. Matt, I know it's an absurd number we're asking them to win. I can't find this many losses on the schedule that they have remaining. This Chiefs team has just been too consistent with their defense, with what they've gotten out of Patrick Mahomes. Might not be amazing as we've seen in years past, but you're telling me over under here with the 7 wins banked already. I think there is a realistic chance that they rip off 8 more wins with this remaining schedule. So I had them for the over. On the other side, Panthers under. We're seeing these lines. We talked a lot about it on Monday. The Saints are going to roll into Carolina and they're laying 7 at 7. And I think it's right. I think it's fair. And if we're talking that way, I don't know how we're seeing them win three more football games on this schedule, even with not the toughest schedule remaining. So this one under 3.5 is the only way I could look on that one. And then two teams that are plummeting in front of the public's and media's eyes right now. And I think for good reasons, it's Jets under and Cowboys under. I don't, like I said earlier about the Texans game, I don't think we've seen rock bottom yet for the Jets. I think this could keep getting worse. And the Cowboys, you and I discussed, it's just there are too high of expectations for what this roster currently looks like on this Cowboys team. It's actually amazing to me how successful Dak to CeeDee Lamb can be on a week-to-week basis when every defense should know it's about the only thing they can be successful at. But you just look at Falcons, Eagles, Texans. I mean, there are some quality teams left on that schedule that they're going to have to play down the stretcher. Under 8.5 is the only way I could look.
The Dallas schedule was one, and I backed off of that one because I thought maybe I didn't want to I wanted to give you some love there in that one. But yeah, this Dallas schedule remaining: Texans 2 against Washington, 2 against the Eagles, the Falcons, the Bucks, and the Bengals, really, you're looking at two that you would throw definitely into the win column with the Panthers and the Giants. And then outside of that, every one of those other games is going to be a real battle for this Cowboys.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I was actually surprised to see this lined at 8.5 still. I thought it would be under that.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it. There's still 7 days left for them to make some sort of move, but historically, we hadn't seen Jarrah do that too much.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, will he go out there and actually make any sort of move and actually try to improve this roster? Or is he just going to say, no, man, I made the perfect roster. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, this is like, that's such, there's
it
no way.
He's getting back, though. If they didn't do anything in the offseason, like, what are you going to do now? Right? Yeah. Well, why would you?
Yeah, I agree. All right, when we come back, let's talk some baseball. We have some more baseball. Thank goodness World Series is not over. Mark Borchardt going to give us his thoughts.